If you all will turn to Psalms 119, we have plenty of instructions for us here in Psalms 119. And so for the next maybe 40 minutes, we will read and say a few comments in Psalms 119, a psalm that ought to be read often. God's word is important. And I'm fearing that we have a number of preachers these days that are not preaching God's word. They may read a passage, but then they give a lesson that doesn't really apply to the passage. Now, I won't never forget, I heard one time. A guy read three or four verses out of the Bible and never mentioned them thereafter. Never said anything else about them. And I was kind of shocked. He called himself a preacher of God's word. And he didn't preach God's word at all. The pastors and teachers have the responsibility of giving the sense of God's word, what it means. And I wished I had knowing more about this yesterday, that he wasn't going to make it, and I could at least try to prepare a little bit. But anyhow, I do have some thoughts. That has never stopped me before. And so we're going to read, make a few comments, and I'm sure we won't go through all of this. Because it'd take 40 minutes just to read through the Psalms and not say much. But I do have a few comments to make as I meditated on them a little bit this morning and reading through them. Psalms 119, let's begin reading with verse 1. And as I say, we'll make some comments as we go through. And we may read some verses without a comment, but most of you all are very familiar with this Psalms and what it's referring to. There are, if I remember, 22 sections, and they are all referring to the Greek, but the Hebrew alphabet. And you've heard the expression, the Alpha and the Omega. Alpha is the first 8 verses and Omega is the last 8 verses. The beginning and the end, Alpha and the Omega. And each of these sections have 8 lines or 8 verses. And in the Hebrew letters, the alphabet still plays a part there. But let's read the first verse as we begin. The psalmist, we don't know exactly who wrote Psalms 119 or if one person wrote them or what. More than likely one person did, and there has been a number of suggestions as to who they were, but that is irrelevant, so we'll just simply say the psalmist. The psalmist began to write. He said, "Blessed are the undefiled, that is the blameless, in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." Blessed are the undefiled who walk in the law of the Lord. Now the law, we've been talking about that in the book of Galatians. It is important because there is a blessedness upon those who walk in the law of the Lord. It's important. We don't do it, as we made mention. We don't keep the law to earn our salvation. We simply are obedient because as Christians, as children, we ought to be obedient. When we raised our children and we told them to do something, whether they did it or didn't do, didn't affect their being our children, did they not? You know, we might want to disown them a couple of times or do like Michonne did one time. She told Hannah, said, "I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to kill you." She did say that. Y'all might not know that, but she threatened her daughter. But that doesn't change the fact that she's a daughter, her daughter, whether she was obedient or whether she was disobedient. So being, If Hannah truly loved her mama, she was obedient and should be in any way. But anyway, that's why we love the law, because we are children of God. Therefore, we have a desire, and there is a blessedness upon those who will walk in the law of the Lord. So there's blessedness in being obedient to God. Jesus said, if you remember what he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus said that on several occasions. Again, he says in verse 2, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. So there is a blessedness that comes upon those who will have a desire to be obedient and to keep the law. And obviously the opposite of that, there is no blessing to those who will not walk in the law of the Lord. What the Hebrew writer says, if we're not going to be obedient, then God will take us out behind the woodshed and he will chasten us. And if we are obedient and we are not chastened of the Lord, then he says, you're not my children. He says, I will chasten my children. So there is a blessedness. It keeps you from out from behind the woodshed if we are obedient. Not only does he say that there is a blessing, but the psalmist says, they also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. This is those who love the law of the Lord. They do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently, just as I said a while ago. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will do what I say if you truly love me. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. And is that not the desire of the heart of the true believer? That he has this, that his ways were directed, because they're not always directed, are they not? How often do we stray? How often do we go walking in our own ways? How often are we self-willed? And I pray this prayer. I may not use these words. I may use some different language, but it means the same thing. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. And we'll see some more about that later too. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. If my ways were directed to keep your statutes, I would not be ashamed. When you sin, how does it affect you? If you've had a real bad week, a bad selfish week, let's say, you've done what you wanted to do and you've been a little bit ill, does it not make you ashamed when you come to church? Do you not kind of feel a little bit low? Maybe y'all ain't been there. But I have experienced that on a few times. I'm like, they would probably be better off if I stayed home. Y'all ain't never thought that way, have you? But the psalmist evidently has done things that he wished that he hadn't done. And when he went to look into the commandments of God, and he saw where God commanded to do this and not to do that, and he realized how much he had failed, then he was ashamed before God. And I have often been in that place, and I'm sure you have too, when we have sinned against God, and then we go and we go to pray, and we have to confess, and we have to do like Albert Martin said one time preaching a sermon. He went over to 1 John, and he said, I put my finger on that verse that says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive. He said, I put my finger on that, I said, I've done it again. And he said, and I got my finger on that one verse again. He said, I confess in that sin. And it does. It brings us low whenever we sin and transgress against God. And why does it do that? Because we love him. And since we love him, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so when we don't keep the commandments, when we're disobedient, do things that we ought not to do, we are ashamed. Then the psalmist goes on, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. And all of his judgments are righteous. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. The psalmist has that strong desire that God would work in him, directing his steps. And he has this strong desire to keep his statutes, to keep the word. But he knows that he's going to fall and he's going to fail. And so he prays, don't forsake me utterly. And I have prayed that prayer in different words. One, the words I use is, don't leave me alone. God, don't leave me alone. If God leaves you alone, then you'll do, ain't no telling what you'll do. If God backs off and lets you be you, just yourself, you, yourself and I. And if that's all there is, there's no spirit to convict. There's nothing there. God leaves you alone. In that sense, he has given you up. You'll do, there ain't no telling what you might do. You might go out and try to rob a bank. You might try to shoot somebody. Well, that heart is wicked. The heart in and of itself is a wicked heart. So he prays, don't forsake me utterly. And I pray that often. God, don't leave me alone. Don't leave me alone. We read that in Romans chapter 1. Brother Joey has spoken on that. God gives them up and he gives them over. That is, God leaves them alone. So I pray, God, don't leave me alone. The second letter, Beth. The next 8 verses. How can a young man cleanse his ways? And then he answers, by taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And now we have that which will help us in our battle against sin. And sin and iniquity is growing these days. It's growing by leaps and bounds. The world ain't getting better. By no means it is not getting better. It seems that God has perhaps loosened the chains on the devil, and he's just iniquity is abounding. I'm afraid wickedness, lawlessness is abounding these days. And how are we going to fight against that? By taking heed to the word of God and hiding it in our hearts. When we do, when we have hidden the word in the heart, then we won't sin against him. It will be a deterrent for us, to help us in making those right decisions. Because we're going to be tempted. We're going to be tried. And we're going to have to do like our Lord when he was tested. He came back with scripture and told the devil, said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. We need to think on them. Brother Conrad, Brother Reggie asked Brother Conrad one time, said, how do you prepare? You know, how do you study? How do you come up with what you come up with? Brother Conrad says, I get me a verse. And I said, I just take that verse and I just pray over it and I meditate on it and I think about it till God gives me something. If you don't know what the book says, that's why. We're not taking it in. We're not meditating on it and contemplating on it. What I came up with this morning on that verse 27 in Galatians 4, That was meditating, whether it's right or wrong. I was thinking about it. I was contemplating. I was meditating on it. I came up with something I haven't read before. I came up with an answer that seemed to be, that fit more than all the commentators. John Gill and John Calvin and Matthew Henry, they didn't have a clue what they was talking about. Now, I may be way off base on that, but that's what I came up with. And why did I come up? I was meditating on it. I was thinking about it. And that's what we've got to do. We have got to get the word, and we got to hide it in our hearts. When we're doing that, we're going to think about it, meditate on it, and we're going to learn. And what did he say about his word? It would not return back to him void. It will be effectual. It will have an effect on us. It will be effectual. So therefore, I want to hide the word. I want to meditate on the word because it will be effectual. It's going to help me. It's going to, what does he say? Sanctify them through thy truth. And thy truth is what? It's the word. And this is how we grow in our sanctification and how we are being conformed to the image of the only begotten Son. And it is through the truth. It is through the word. So therefore, he says, the psalmist goes on and he says there in verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Gimel, the third section, the psalmist writes, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. The bountiful might refer to physical things. I'm not sure exactly what he's referring to there. I have studied that out once before, but that's been a long time ago. But he says, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. We have that desire that God will help us in whatever it is that we might be going through, that we might continue on. That we be not oppressed and depressed and so forth and so on. So we want God to deal bountifully with us. That's the opposite of God leaving us alone. We want God dealing with us. We want to be dealt with. And so he says, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. And if we're not meditating on the word, if we're not contemplating on the word, then our eyes will never be open. And he prays that God would open his eyes that he might behold wondrous things. Jesus said to his disciples before he left this earth, he said, I got things I want to tell you. He said, but you ain't able to bear it right now. He said, when I leave, I'm going to send back the Comforter. When the Comforter comes, the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. So he's the teacher. So if we're not applying ourselves to the teacher, we won't ever learn. Therefore, if we just simply read the word and we try to figure it out on our own, we're not going to come up with much. The truth is, anyway, we're to seek God. We're to pray. That's what Brother Conrad was doing. He said, I'd get that verse. And he said, I'd meditate on it and I'd pray over it to God, give me something. And so we pray, and I pray often. Well, not just often, but always for Brother Joey, that God would open his eyes, that he might see and behold wondrous things out of God's word, that he might preach the gospel, that he might preach the law, to preach the truth. So he said, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things in your law. Then the psalmist says, I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. And we're pilgrims, are we not? This world's not our home. And let's don't forget about that. Don't ever forget that we are strangers here. This is not where we live. Our home is in heaven. We're strangers on this earth. And as such, the psalmist desires that God would not hide his commandments from him. Since the world is not his home, he still wants God's word. My soul, verse 20, breaks with longing. It is crushed for your judgments at all time. You rebuke the proud, that is, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. There is that fear that he might do things that might hinder, that might bring reproach and contempt upon God and his people. And he says, remove me from that, for I have kept your commandments, your testimonies. One of the greatest fears, I think, that Christians of God, that they may not realize is if they go in their own strength, they may do things that may actually be a hindrance to the spreading of the gospel, a hindrance to someone coming to the gospel, coming to the truth. So he says, remove from me reproach and contempt. Anything that I might say, anything that I might do that might be a hindrance. For I have kept your testimonies. Verse 23 tells us the psalmist evidently had some difficulties. He had some persecution. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Is the word of God a delight to you? Do you find it a delight? And is it a counselor? The more we read and meditate on it, it will be counselors. It'll help us, give us wisdom. Verse 25, the next section. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. And do we not all get low sometimes? I have been praying for quite some time that God might send us a time of refreshing. We need a good time of refreshing. Because the soul clings to the dust, does it not? We get low. And we're waiting for God to do something. And we have got to keep ourselves in the word of God, meditating on the word, hiding it in our heart as we seek him to send us a time of refreshing. Revive me according to your word. And that's where we're going to find that time of refreshing, as we keep applying ourselves to it. One of these days, God's going to break forth. And we're going to have us a time of refreshing. I have declared my ways, and you answered me. The psalmist says, I told you, Lord, I told you about my soul clinging to the dust, and you have heard my prayer, and you've answered me. Teach me in your statutes. We don't never get to that place where we get up on the mountaintop and we just simply live there and everything, you know, we got it made now. We should never have that kind of feeling that we've got it made. The psalmist seems to be saying, yeah, things is going good right now. And he says, teach me thy statutes. I still need to be focused on keeping the word and not think that since I'm up on the mountaintop, everything's going lovely. I can relax just a little bit and take it easy. Because we have that earthly tendency to think of of rest, of taking it easy, wanting things to go well and to go right all the time. And so when it does, we must not forget. We still got to apply ourselves to God. Teach me your statutes. Verse 27, he goes further. And just simply saying, teach me. He says in verse 27, make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. He said, make me to understand. Cause me to understand. Make me understand the way of your precepts. Again, this is that praying that God not leave us alone. Make me understand your ways. Do what you got to do to me, that I might understand what you would have me to do, and to understand your word. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. My soul, verse 28, melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. There's that soul clinging to the dust again. He's mentioning again to God. And he says, strengthen me according to your word. There seems to be a theme going here. If we want help, we're going to find it here. This is where we're going to find our help. When we get low and when we get down, we got to get in this to get back up. Strengthen me according to your word. At verse 25, revive me according to your word. It's getting in the word. We're not like the Catholics. The Catholics didn't believe that the lay people should have the word of God. They didn't believe that. No, y'all are not intelligent enough to read the Bible for yourself. That was part of what they preached at one time. Verse 29, the psalmist says, remove from me the way of lying. Evidently, he had a tendency to lie a little bit. Y'all don't do that, do you? Y'all don't lie. The biggest person, you know who we lie to the most? Y'all know who we lie to the most? Ourselves. Yeah, we lie to ourselves mostly. But he says, remove from me the way of lying. Y'all did something funny and I missed it. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen, verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. And have we really made that decision that we are going to go in the way of truth? Have we really did that? Or are we playing? Are we just playing with God and playing with the church? Or has we really given ourselves over to it? I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. We got too many people playing church. They haven't really chosen the way of truth. And we need to pray for those. I cling to your testimonies, verse 31. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. The next section, verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. In other words, he seems to be saying all through this, this is not like going to school and going through the 12th grade. I've graduated now. I've learned what I'm going to learn. We will never get to the point where we know it all. So he keeps on saying to the Lord, teach me. Teach me. Over and over and over again, he is saying, teach me. There's still more to learn. I'll never be to the point where I'll have it all. So he says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. And the only way that we're going to keep it is if we've been taught. And how are we going to be taught? We're going to have to get in the book, and we're going to have to be here when the word is taught and when it's preached. That's the only way we're going to keep it to the end. We've got to have it first to keep it. Verse 34, give me understanding and I shall keep your law. We're shut up to God. If we're going to have any understanding about this book and what it means and how it's going to apply to ourselves, God's going to have to give it to us. We're shut up unto him. So we have to apply ourselves. If we're going to learn anything about what it means to be a Christian and to serve Christ, we're going to have to get in the book and pray that he would give us understanding. And when he gives us understanding, then we can keep his law. Indeed, he says, he goes on and said, indeed, I will observe it with my whole heart. Here is a strong, earnest desire. And again, how many professing Christians have a strong, earnest desire to observe the Word of God and to observe it with my whole heart? Too many say, you know, yeah, I'm going to be obedient, but not with my whole heart. They don't come out and say that, but that's what they're doing. God's got a little place, you know, and then the world has got the rest of it. But no, the psalmist says, no, with my whole heart I will observe it. I will give myself completely to it, to serving God, loving him, being obedient to him. Again, verse 35, he realizes his own weakness. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Even though he delights in it, he still prays to God, make me. Cause me to walk in the path of your commandments. This is where I delight. This is what I want to do. This is that problem with Romans 7. We were talking about, Brother Joy was talking about here a few weeks ago. There is that inner desire to do right. But we find a conflict, don't we? We find that, as Paul said there, he says, I find another law in my members warring against me. He said, the flesh wants to do what the flesh wants to do. So the psalmist seems to understand this, and he says, make me to walk in your paths, in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart, verse 36, to your testimonies and not to covetousness. And covetousness is a big problem with this whole world that we've got today. And it's a problem that we have to overcome too. We have to fight against. But he says, incline my heart to your testimonies. I need help here. The psalmist says, I need help. I can't do this on my own. And what did Jesus say? Without me, you can do nothing. So we have got to abide in him. And as we abide in him, he will incline our hearts to his testimonies, and we can overcome this covetousness that we are prone to. Verse 37, one that I have prayed often. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. And do we not look at things we ought not to look at when we look at this world? So the psalmist says, cause my eyes to pass away. Cause me not to be looking at all this worthless stuff. And revive me in your way, or in your words. Verse 38. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. I thought about this thing of fearing yesterday morning. How often do we go in prayer kind of flippant? And we pray and we don't really realize where we're going. Hebrews said we're going before the throne. We're entering, as it were, into the Holy of Holies. And that which we taught through the Old Testament, when the priest went into the Holy of Holies kind of flipping, they had to drag him out. God killed him. And so ought to have this reverent fear of realizing we are to, in us, one writer I read sometimes back said we ought to try to picture God, not a physical being, but being in his presence. When we go to pray, we ought to realize that we are at God's feet. But sometimes we go to prayer and it's so light, and then we expect God to answer. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, verse 39, which I dread. He has that fear once again. We mentioned a while ago. He has that fear of doing something that is going to bring dishonor upon God. So he says, turn away my reproach, which I dread. He says, I have this fear. Well, Spurgeon said that David was prone to fits of anger. He had a quick temper. And I don't know whether David writes this or not. But the writer, we could apply that to David. David says, you know, I got this dread. Somebody's going to say something and I'm going to blow my top. So he says, turn away my reproach, which I dread. He said, I'm afraid I might get into a situation and God, if you don't help me, I'm liable to haul off and let him have it. And so he said, I dread that. I have a fear that I might do something like that. And there are things that God needs to keep us away from. We may have some weaknesses in some area and we don't need to be there. We don't need to be in that situation because we might slip and fall. And we need to pray against that. God, keep me from that. Don't let me get involved in certain things. Because there's no telling what, if God ever backs his hand off and lets you alone for a little while and lets you expose that old evil heart that you have got, you're going to regret it. And I speak that from experience. I have regretted it too many times. And so turn away my reproach, which I dread. There's some things I need to be away from. I don't need to associate with certain people. And you don't need to do that either. I remember my father giving an illustration of that one time. And there was a guy that was visiting a bar. He wanted to witness to a certain fellow. And so he would go in there, sit down with the guy at the bar and drink with him and carry on with him, hoping to be a witness to him. One icy day, this same guy was on his way to church and he slipped off in the ditch. And so the pastor coming by there and he stopped and the guy said, yeah, I slipped off in the ditch. You reckon you could pull me out? He said, well, wait just a minute. Let me back off in the ditch. He said, well, wait a minute. If you back off in the ditch, we both be stuck. So you see where he's going with his illustration. Now you go to the bar room with a guy, the only person that's going to get changed is you. You're not going to change the other fella. So there's things we need to stay away from. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Again, seeking that time of refreshing. And we ought to seek it. But notice it's always tied to his word. I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Verse 41, let your mercies come also to me, O Lord. Your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. If we're not in the word, we won't be able to answer. And we got to have his mercies. If he's not merciful to us, then we can't be a help to others. And take not, verse 43, take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. If we're not following the Lord wholeheartedly, then we can lose what we gained. And so we got to be careful of that. And so he prays against that. Don't take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for that's where I have hoped. There is my hope. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Do we love the Word? Do we have any love for it at all? Is there any desire? You have some desire for it because you're here. That's some evidence that you have a desire for it because you're here this morning. But you got a world out there that has no desire for the Word of God. There's no love for it. But there is some evidence you have a love for it because you're here this morning. Remember the word, verse 49, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. And we can pray that. We can pray that. We can bring God to remembrance. Not that he forgets. We're the ones who's prone to forget and prone to wonder. But we can read the word and we can bring it to remembrance to God. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Remember the word of your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. The proud have had me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. There is a righteous anger that the psalmist has for those who have forsaken the law. And he's talking about his own people there, no doubt. The Judaizers, the Israelites who have turned back from following God, back to the idols, and there is a righteous anger that has come upon him because of what they have done. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has been mine because I kept your precepts. We'll go through these next eight real quick and then we'll stop. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your word. Is God your portion? Is the Lord your portion? If he's your portion, then you're satisfied. You're satisfied with him. And how many people go around being satisfied? People are hungry today. They're hungry for this, hungry for that, trying to fill that void that's in the heart there, and they just continually going and going and going, trying to fill that. But if the Lord is your portion, then you're satisfied. You're not running around trying to fill it with this and fill it with that, doing this and doing that. He says, I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. When we get in deep, troublesome times, and persecuted for righteousness' sake, we'll have that tendency to get cast down and get low. But he says, no, the psalmist says, no, I have not forgotten your law. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me. Again, he says, teach me your statutes. And we ought to be always to be teachable. We got to be teachable. If we're not teachable, we'll never learn it. We'll never grow in grace. We'll never be built up upon our most holy faith. We got to be teachable. Teach me your statutes.